There's not a single person on this planet who hasn't been wronged or hurt by someone else. Bad stuff happens. It does. But when we hang on to unforgiveness, the hurt just keeps on hurting. The regrets of the past end up ruining today and robbing us of tomorrow. There's only one way to fix that. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and thank you so much for joining me today as we take another look at your life from a different perspective. Think back. For probably the majority of us, we don't have to go back even 24 hours. A harsh word, being left out, being ignored, being passed over, being misunderstood, doesn't take all that much to get hurt. And they're just the small things. Then there are the big things like unfaithfulness of a spouse, physical and emotional abuse, theft and violence. There are plenty of people listening to this message today who have some of those in their lives. In fact, there are more people listening to this message around the world today who are living in poverty or without basic housing or clean water or sanitation and safety than there are those listening in the comfortable, affluent West. So back to you, back to the people who have hurt you in your life. Can I ask you, how easy do you find it to forgive them? Is it something that comes naturally, or do you struggle to forgive? Well, the answer for most of us is that forgiveness is one of the most unnatural acts of all. Because when someone wrongs you, that innate sense of justice that you have built into you, because you've been created in the image of God, who is, after all, the God of justice, your God, given that sense of justice, well, what it demands in you is that things be put right, correct? When you're wronged, things should be righted. When someone causes you to suffer a loss, then justice demands that they should recompense you. That's why people sue each other. But forgiveness is the exact opposite, in a sense. Forgiveness is me giving up my right to hurt you when you've hurt me. Forgiveness is me giving up the recompense that justice demands that I should have. And for God, forgiveness is rather a big deal. Jesus once said this, Mark chapter 11, verse 25, "Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses." So us forgiving others, as it turns out, according to Jesus, is a precursor to God forgiving us. Have you ever wondered, how is it that this God of justice is so focused on forgiveness? How is it that justice and forgiveness can live side by side in the one person? Isn't there a conflict between the two? Well, the answer is yes, there is a conflict between these two, justice and forgiveness. They're opposed to one another. Imagine, if you will, the murderer who is found guilty by a court, and it comes time for the judge to sentence him. And imagine if the judge said, "Look, young man, I know that you're guilty of this terrible crime, but I've decided to forgive you today. You can go free." It's inconceivable, isn't it? We as a community would be completely outraged if something like that transpired in a court of the land, because we demand that justice should be done, that the person should be punished for their crime. But God's call on our lives is to forgive one another. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other as God in Christ has forgiven you." See, the problem with unforgiveness, other than the fact that it offends God, is that it continues to hurt us. Let's say that someone hurts you and you decide not to forgive them. What happens then is that you keep living through the hurt over and over again. You keep planning on how to get revenge. You see, when we fail to forgive, the hurt just keeps on hurting. It's like giving that person who hurt us rent-free space in our hearts and in our minds so that they can keep causing us pain. And when you look at it that way, it just doesn't make sense. Sure, our sense of justice always says, "Hang on, I deserve justice. Justice has to be done." But common sense says, let it go. Forgive them without any expectation that the person who hurt you will apologize or mend their ways or ask for your forgiveness. Because when we let it go, we end up free from the hurt. When we forgive and choose to forget, the pain starts to dissipate. You've seen this, and you've probably even done it yourself. When you fail to forgive someone and you just keep on throwing it back in their face over and over again, is that good for you? Is that good for them? Does it change them in any way? Is it good for your relationship with that person or with God? Marlene Dietrich once said this, "Once a woman has forgiven her man, she should not reheat his sins for breakfast." It's not bad, is it? And how true. And it's just not about women forgiving men. It's about men forgiving women and other men. Listen, this conflict between justice and forgiveness is nothing new. God is the God of justice, absolute justice. Nothing sways him. He is completely impartial. And yet, he is also the God of love. In fact, the Bible tells us that God is love. So what does this God of justice do with his love? What does this God of justice do when he comes across you and me who've sinned against him, who've offended him, and we deserve punishment? Come on, the Bible says we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's true about me, it's true about you, we just know it. We've all turned our backs on him in thought, word, and deed at some point in our lives, and probably the last time is not that long ago. We deserve his wrath and his punishment, and yet he loves us so much. How does he satisfy his absolute sense of justice and love when it comes to you and me? Well, John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. God so loved the world, God so loved you, that he gave his only begotten Son, so that when you believe in him, you won't perish, but you'll have eternal life. Indeed, God didn't send the Son into the world to condemn the world or to condemn you or me, but in order that the world might be saved, in order that you would be saved. Forgiveness is a supreme act of love. It always, always costs us something, but it's always, always worth it in the end because it sets us free from the hurt and free to get on with our lives. People sometimes ask me, but Bernie, how can I forgive someone who's hurt me so much? How do I actually do that? It's not easy. Absolutely, it's not easy. I never said that it was. The small things, the harsh words spoken in a family, those things are often easy to forgive if we're close to Jesus. The closer we get to him, the more we wrap our hearts around the sacrifice he made for us so that we could be forgiven, the easier it is to forgive the little things. You can learn to do it easily, almost on the fly. But those big things, the people who've really hurt us, those big hurts from the past, how do you forgive those? How do you get set free from that hurt? How can you stop yesterday from ruining you today and robbing you of your tomorrow? Well, I only know one way. It's what Jesus taught us to do, and as counterintuitive as it feels at the time, it's the only thing that I've ever found to work. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 and 44, he said, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbour and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." When you pray for your enemies, I'll tell you this, God changes your heart. His Spirit and his Word end up working in you to soften you, to make you more like him, to heal you, and to set you free from the anguish that you feel. The stuff that Jesus teaches us to do, as much as it flies in the face of conventional wisdom, it really works. And that's the road to a stunning life, living our lives based on his wisdom, not on the world's wisdom. You just can't live that stunning life that God has planned for you when you have the bitterness of unforgiveness reigning in your heart. Before I go, I'd just like to remind you that if you have a prayer need, we would absolutely love to pray for you. Because the only sort of prayer that the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. Just let that sink in. The only sort of prayer the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. So if you'd like us to pray with you, in fact, if you'd like our whole prayer community to pray with you, stop by online at powerfulprayer.org to share your prayer request. It's completely confidential, your name won't be displayed, and in fact, while you're there, perhaps you could pray for one or two others as well and leave them a word or two of encouragement. You can be such a mighty blessing to so many others by supporting them in this way. The Bible says that the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective, so please let us pray for you and with you. And let's just see what God does, how he intervenes, how he chooses to bless you. That web address again is powerfulprayer.org. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time tomorrow with a different perspective.